Blog Talk Radio.
Hola, boricuas del mundo. Esta es otra edición de Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Anfitrión, Will Santiago Viera, bienvenidos, mi gente. ¿Cómo están, mi gente? Espero que estén bien. Aquí ya vieron que estoy tratando algunos distintos introducciones, así que quizás la semana que viene viene uno nuevo, pero estoy tratando algunos distintos, a ver cómo me salen. No me gustan a veces y por eso los quiero cambiar. De todos modos, como escucharon, yo soy Will Santiago Viera y este es su show, Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Esta noche, como lo hemos tenido a menudo, en muchas ocasiones tenemos al abogado y autor Nelson Antonio Dennis, que viene a hablar con nosotros un poquito de cada cosa. Pero quiero antes hablarles un poquito acerca de lo que estamos haciendo y cómo ustedes pueden envolverse para poder participar y mantenerse al tanto de lo que estamos haciendo. Nosotros tenemos unas cuantas páginas en Facebook y en Twitter, pero que claramente es difícil de todo el mundo recordarse de todas esas páginas y cosas así. Entonces, lo que hicimos fue que pusimos estas páginas un link para que usted pueda ir a nuestra página que se llama www.presenteydepie.org. Usted va a nuestra página ahí y entonces desde ahí puede buscar las otras páginas que tenemos en Facebook y la página que tenemos en Twitter. Así que vaya allá, tenemos Boricuas of the World Social Club, donde usted puede hacerse miembro del grupo. También puede visitar nuestras otras dos páginas, Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show y Boricuas of the World Presente y de Pie. En estas dos, lo que tiene que hacer es darnos un like. También podría llegar a nuestras páginas de Twitter, que son Boricuas OT World, Boricuas OT World. OT quiere decir of the world, pero claramente no hay espacio bastante, así que tuvimos que poner la Boricuas OT World. Y también tenemos en Twitter Presente y de Pie, y claramente en Twitter nos puede seguir, así que vayan y denle una miradita. A la vez que entran a presenteydepies.org, usted podrá también escuchar archivos de algunos de nuestros shows de radio, podrán leer artículos escogidos de distintas publicaciones y podrá ver información acerca de eventos especiales que se llevarán a cabo en nuestras comunidades. Si ustedes tienen algún evento que quieren que nosotros pongamos en esa página, nosotros mensualmente le enviamos esto a nuestros seguidores, que son 69,000 y un pico. Así que si quiere que la gente sepa de esos eventos, después que sean Puerto Rico céntrico, claramente le metemos mano y no pueden ser con fines de lucro. No hacemos nada con fines de lucro. Okay. También tenemos nuestros artículos que están escritos en nuestra publicación de Frente y de Pie por personas vinculadas en nuestra comunidad, como el señor Nelson Antonio Dennis. Así que denos una visita y mire y únase a nuestras páginas. Si a usted le interesa escribir algo, si piensa que tiene talento para escribir y puede escribir algo importante de nuestras comunidades en todas partes de donde ustedes están, nos las puede mandar a will_santiago@presenteydepie.org. Y recuérdense que Will es con letras grandes y con letra grande la W y la S en Santiago con letra grande también. Así que, por favor, si te está interesado en escribir algo, por favor, como le digo otra vez, por favor, envíelo. Nosotros queremos escuchar de ustedes, queremos saber qué está pasando en distintas comunidades, qué es lo que sufren, qué es lo que gozan, todo eso lo queremos saber. ¿Ok? Así que, por favor, otra vez, por favor, contáctenos y envíenos sus artículos, sus preguntas, si quieren llamarnos en cualquier momento que tenemos un show. El número es 619-638-8410. Ustedes pueden llamarlo cuando quieran y hablar con nosotros, inclusive en el medio del show. Si tenemos tiempo, pues hablamos. Si no lo contestamos, es porque estamos un poquito busy. De todos modos, como les dije, today, you know, y aquí hablamos English, español, and Spanglish. So today we have our friend and lawyer and also author of War Against All Puerto Ricans, Nelson Antonio Dennis, who is here with us for the umpteenth time. I'm so happy and proud that my friend can do this for me. ¿Cómo estás, Nelson?
Lo más bien, Willy, gracias por mantener el show y por informar al público toda la semana. It's a great thing that you're doing.
Well, you know, someone has to do it. I mean, after all, the press is controlled by about 6 corporations, and so whatever we get to see is here is controlled. Here we give you the real nitty-gritty. So,
You're being too modest, because everybody in New York knows that the press is controlled by 6 corporations and Will Vieira.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're controlled, but here we're not controlled.
But I'm saying here we say everybody knows that the press is controlled by 6 corporations and Will Vieira. Don't use the 6 corporations and
Will Vieira.
And you. Yeah.
Ojalá, because people will be hearing the real truth.
Okay, make sure you heard that.
Tao Yang. So, Nelson, let's get to talking. I mean, when I spoke to you about our show today, I told you that there was only about 3 different topics that I wanted to talk to you about, but I think that they are important. And I will start with the very first one. This is something that I saw that really enraged me. It did not just make me angry, it enraged me. El Partido Nuevo Progresista, on their Twitter account, they have PR51 Estado, they wrote, con la estadidad, los envejecientes de escasos recursos se beneficiarán de 1.8 billones en fondos adicionales. So they're saying that if Puerto Rico becomes a state, that the seniors will be able to benefit from $1.8 billion in additional funds that are coming to the island. But what's really pissing me off, I mean, I know that's their rhetoric, and that's all fine and dandy, but what really pisses me off is that they used a picture of the Independentista leader Isabelita Rosado as the picture for their tweet. It really boggles the mind that this is kind of like an insult. What's your take on that?
Well, the PNP has had a fairly extensive history of contempt towards the average, towards the general Puerto Rican public, a history of it. Just a few quick examples. Luis Fortuño, during his 4 years in office, in only 4 years, borrowed from Wall Street more money than any other governor in Puerto Rican history. Borrowed $16 billion, $9 billion of which is still unaccounted for, $1 billion of which went for public relations. I mean, it was reported in the newspapers. $1 billion for public relations, $400 million for un gasoducto, for a pipeline that was never built, another $100 million for fideicomiso de ciencias, that also disappeared, $100 billion. Now, all this money disappeared. At the same time, that $9 billion that was unaccounted for went out in private contracts, while under la Ley 7, they got rid of over 30,000 workers. Right? So they fired over 30,000 people that were working, cut pensions, borrowed all this money that we still, $9 billion of it, we don't know where it went. And then Luis Fortuño is up in Washington writing editorials at Fox News Latino with the title, Puerto Rico has a spending problem. So this son of a gun is the robber in Puerto Rico becomes the reformer in Washington. But that's part of the history. I'll give you some more. While Fortuño was in office, there was they borrowed 7 times in a row at PREPA, the Electrical Power Authority. seven bond issuances in a row that were supposedly for funding PREPA, the electric company. But it was found in a 23-page government study found that 82% of all that borrowing was it was $4 billion worth of borrowing in these seven bonds. It didn't go to pay for PREPA, not for maintenance or operating and capital expenses, not even to purchase the oil, not even to pay the principal on antecedent debt. It was 82% went to pay interest on the preceding debt. So each bond was paying 82% of it was to pay the interest on the bond before it. That's like Bernie Madoff. That's a Ponzi scheme. That's a felony, man. That's $4 billion. So we're talking $16 billion that Fortuna borrowed, plus another $4 billion that somebody should be going to jail there. Right? So there's a history of contempt. And now we're finding out that that they're looking to have FBI people, FBI agents, quote unquote, supervising the election on November 8th. But no,
yeah,
I'm just laying down the foundation. The FBI the election plus the Financial Control Board has BNP, two people members of the BNP, has a spokesperson. The spokesperson was an old BNP person, and the consultants to the Financial Control Board are at BNP. So there's that. Now, as far as this, what you just told me about, Isabel Rosado, you know what? Eso tan declarado fresco, maybe they should just go a little further. I think they should use the picture of Pedro Albizu Campos and say that he's going to get more food stamps, and a picture of Filiberto Herrera Ríos and say that he's going to get a better dental plan. Because if the criterion happens, is that all you have to be is a independent figure and be dead, like Isabel Rosado, to be a revered independent figure and be dead. Well, they might as well use Don Pedro and Filiberto. Why stop at Isabel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, María de Lourdes Santiago wrote, no, en política no se vale todo. Usar la imagen de doña Isabelita Rosado, luchadora por la independencia, valiente como pocos, emblema de las luchas contra la Marina, en una campaña por la estadidad, es una gran falta de respeto. En pocas palabras, les dijo exactamente lo que es. It's really annoying, and comments under this article were.
There's another piece too, and let's not ignore it. You said that they claim that there will be over $1 billion in an additional benefits for
1.8 billion.
1.8 billion. If you do the math, that is about two. That's about roughly about $5,000 more for each senior citizen in Puerto Rico. Roughly about $5,000 more for each senior citizen. You know what? I'd like to see what they're talking about, where that money is coming from. So it's not only the symbolic insult, which is very high, but it's also the insult to the intelligence of every Puerto Rican when they throw out big numbers, $1.8 billion, and that'll give you the slightest intonation, the slightest hint as to where all that money is coming from. It's what they've been doing. It's the way they've been treating Puerto Rico and the average Puerto Rican person and voter. This is what they've been doing for the last 20 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, they are insulting so many people by doing this. I think that if they want to convey their message, I think that they're going about it the wrong way. I think they're going to get more people to hate them, even if they're not independentistas. People are going to say, you know, eso es una falta de respeto. Boricuas, we know cuando hay una falta de respeto, regardless of how we feel about anything that's going on. But anyways, gente, miren bien quiénes son. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about, again, that you just mentioned it a moment ago, is that you said that the FBI is going to be keeping their eyes on the elections. And I just want to read a little bit of what you wrote here, if you give me a moment. And that's, I'm going to start from the area where it says, but there is another agenda at work here. And he says, most of the voter irregularities, sale of votes, valid alteration, voter fraud, will not be discernible to an armed FBI agent standing at a polling site. They will not stand there with loaded guns to protect electoral integrity. They will discourage protests, demonstrations, or any form of civil disobedience. They will reinforce the narrative that Puerto Rico cannot govern itself, manage its own finances, or even conduct a democratic election. They will acclimate Puerto Ricans to an increased police presence throughout the island. This police presence will multiply in 2017 when the U.S. Financial Control Board fires most government workers, cut pensions, close schools, and raises the water and electrical rates. Now, that sounds really scary. Please elaborate, my brother.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was in the State Assembly for 4 years, and that's where I know you, where you and I first met, Will, when you were with organizing with ACORN, and I was a State Assemblyman, and I was involved in a lot of elections, and a lot. In my political career in over 10 elections. So I had a lot of experiences on election day. And I'll give you one. One time, Will, in my best polling site, the one where I was going to get expecting to do the best, to get the most votes, it was the one that had Franklin Plaza and 1199 that they're on First Avenue. There was there's two or three polling sites. I said, good. I did a good progressive vote. I'm going to do well here. And in that polling site, by the end of the day, apparently one machine grew a pair of legs and walked out the building because a whole machine went missing. It was just somehow the whole machine walked out the door. There was an armed policeman. I don't know, but who the last person knew anything about it was the cop. But the cop that was assigned, he knew absolutely nothing about it. These armed law enforcement officers, they're not trained in election law, and that's not why they're there. They just stand there with a gun. So this having the FBI all of a sudden show up at this election, it has nothing to do with voter irregularities. First of all, Will, let's be honest here. Whoever wins this governor's race isn't going to be able to govern anyway. It's going to be the Financial Control Board that governs Puerto Rico. So it's not as if, like, this is such a huge something here is at stake. What is at stake? And they say that, we need FBI agents to guard against corruption. Will, the corruption is what we were talking about, the $16 billion, the money that's stolen already. That's the corruption. And then they turn around and make it look like the people of Puerto Rico are the ones that are corrupt. And that they're going to do all these things on election day. So it's another instance of victimizing the victim, and it's also a way of legitimizing if the PNP wins, especially if the PNP the PPD rather the no I'm sorry the PNP the statehood party, which some people are anticipating, right? Because Alejandro García Padilla, people are tired, Analdi Hernandez. The current party is the one that put them in this problem, so to speak. And so there's that expectation. And so they figure, well, this will further legitimize that party. If we have the FBI, it'll make it look like this election was more legit. It wasn't more legit. It was, the corruption happened before Election Day already. So it's very offensive what they're doing. It's getting Puerto Ricans used to having a policeman in every aspect of their lives. That's what they're doing. They're starting to create the first steps of martial law. Because next year, Will, is going to be a rough year when the Financial Control Board starts doing the things it's going to do. That's when the irregularities are going to start in Puerto Rico.
Is there precedent with the FBI in elections here in the U.S. that you know?
When the Department of Justice can be invoked under the Voting Rights Act, anywhere south of the Mason-Dixon line and in New York City, they are under the coverage of the Voting Rights Act. But they don't show up immediately. You can request but they have to be requested and they have to be approved. And it wouldn't be FBI, it would be U.S. Marshals that would show up. So this enhanced police presence, no, it is far from common. It is far from the usual practice. It is just yet another establishment of an undeclared state of martial law in Puerto Rico, and they're using the elections as an excuse.
You know, you mentioned that the new governor would not be able to govern, but I think that it does, and I certainly hope that it will be a she. I think that if they can manage, they can organize the país and move people, organize people. I think that that might be in a way very helpful to fight la junta and to fight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you, and I wrote that, in, I think, in my editorial. I think it was either yesterday or today. Yesterday was the one about the FBI, and I think today's is about Maria de Lourdes. If she were to win the Independence Party, she's the senator who was a member of the PIP, and she's my choice for candidate. She's the Independence candidate. Because they were, at least they would be able to establish a moral posture, and she'd be able to turn the Financial Control Board into an international issue. That she, I wouldn't be surprised if Maria de Lourdes went before the United Nations and said, this is proof that Puerto Rico is a colony. And under Section 1514 of the UN Charter, Puerto Rico, therefore, should be decolonized. And so
she would definitely do it. But she's polling very low. That's unfortunate, though. For some reason, los puertorriqueños no hemos aprendido la lección allá en Puerto Rico. And we continue to allow these two parties to control what happens in our island, you know? So
There is that. But you know, there's something fraud. If we're talking about fraud, right, election fraud and get an FBI agent and all the rest, we should start. Someone should start looking at these so-called polls, because El Nuevo Día, which is a statehood, the Ferret family owns El Nuevo Día, and they're so pro-statehood. They've been coming out with these polls, Will, that have basically turned this election into a coronation for Ricky Rosselló. I don't see where they get these polls that showing Rosselló with these enormous advantage, and Maria de Lourdes with. Virtual, I don't even want to say with the percentage because I don't believe it. It's funny how people define fraud. There's a lot of corporate fraud where people's minds are being twisted out of shape. With basically, it was, if you remember, President Harry Truman once said, "There's lies, damn lies, and then there's statistics." Well, it seems like these statistics are coming from planet Mars. Because I don't see people are really fed up in Puerto Rico with both parties, because I think there's the growing recognition that the PPD and the PNP, that those two parties are really one party, the PLP, the party of lining their pockets. And people realize that in Puerto Rico. So I don't see how the Nuevo Día comes up with these majorities for either party. People are sick and tired of both of them.
I would tell you something. If Ricky Rosselló becomes the governor, then we are really in trouble, because I don't think that he's ever held any public office. I don't think he's never been a mayor. He's never been a senator, right? He's never had any experience whatsoever, except that, you know, he has
el apellido. That he's the son of the other. Yeah. He's the son.
So, but some people are saying that he's in front, and I would assume then that
Look at the paradigm that will develop. You're gonna have Garcia and Carrion. Carlos Carrion III is the chairman of the Financial Control Board. Garcia is, and he was PPD. Garcia also PNP is on the control board. Those two, one of them is the brother-in-law of Pedro Pierluisi, and the other one was the president of the central bank during the Fortunio administration. Those two. Okay. Mm. Then the chief spokesperson, because they hired someone, was a spokesperson for Luis Fortunio when Fortunio was in office. The spokesperson. for the Financial Control Board, who's getting paid, have been selected. And there's going to be consultants that are consultants, including Fortunio himself, who's up at Steptoe and Johnson's. So what I'm getting at is this Financial Control Board is extremely highly infiltrated with PNP already. And now if you add on to that a PNP governor and Fortunio pulling strings in Washington, D.C., ay, Dios mío, watch out. Everybody keep their hand on the pocketbook, because you're going to have public-private partnerships all over Puerto Rico, and you're going to have a small little sliver of people getting rich, and they're going to be calling it all in the name of good government when it's outright fraud. That's the fraud that we should be looking at.
Incredible. Bueno, one more topic that I want to touch on, and this actually affects my family. We own a home in Puerto Rico. Well, my father does. My mother and father did before my mom passed away. It's a small home. You know, it has un garaje. It got an upstairs and a downstairs, a little land in the back. But the price is not. It wasn't too steep. $175,000. The problem is that now, people who are looking to buy the home are offering $30,000, $40,000, while trying to find important news about Puerto Rico, I came by the CNN Money article, and me cogió los ojos rápidamente when it says looking for real estate steal, try Puerto Rico, and it has this. Beautiful words, you know, it says, while most of the U.S. freezes in February, Puerto Rico is 80 degrees. The island is home to one of the world's best beaches, according to TripAdvisor. And it goes on to talk about hedge fund billionaire John Paulson, who has been scooping up real estate there, and he predicts it will be the next Miami. ¿Qué es lo que está pasando? La gente se está yendo, dejando las casas. ¿Qué es lo que pasa?
It's pretty systematic. In fact, if any of the listeners are interested, if they Google the words Puerto Rico real estate or Puerto Rico real estate deals, Google those words, you will see Forbes, Fortune, Barron's, Bloomberg News, Reuters, Wall Street Journal, basically all the financial press for the last 2 years have been extolling the virtues de toda la ganga que hay en Puerto Rico. How people can go and make a killing on Puerto Rico real estate. If you go on the Sotheby's Park Barnett, on their website, the real estate section, they have a big piece, a whole section on Puerto Rico real estate with 20 full-color photos. It's pretty interesting, and I encourage your listeners to do that, because what's happening is like there's two parallel universes. There's the universe where over a million Puerto Ricans have had to move out because they can't afford it anymore, and the universe of your parents, where their home is now worth maybe one-fourth or one-fifth of the home value. In other words, the home values have gone down by 300%, 400% in the last 10 years, and people like John Paulson are buying computer tapes. They're available. It's legal. You can buy computer tapes of houses, of homes in Puerto Rico that are in states of financial distress, where like they missed a home mortgage payment or they're in foreclosure proceedings. Right now, John Paulson is buying those tapes, those computer tapes with thousands of homes listed. And then what John Paulson does, he'll hire 20 or 30 people, and they start calling all those people, trying to encourage them to sell their houses for pennies on the dollar. So that's a business model that's been being pushed in Puerto Rico. And what it is, it's an outright naked gentrification of the entire island. And it's the amazing thing is it's happening in broad daylight. No one isn't even making a secret of it. So at the same time that we're hearing about the $72 billion debt, the control board, the problems, at the same time, there's another Puerto Rico, which is this rich person's Puerto Rico. telling people to come on down to buy houses. And then there's even a website, Will, called Act. If you Google, again, for the listeners, Google Act 20 and Act 22, because those are the two laws that are giving 20-year tax abatements to all high-net-worth individuals that want to start any sort of business or investment in Puerto Rico, where for 20 years, right now in Puerto Rico, they won't pay any income, interest, or capital gains income tax. No dividend, interest, or capital gains taxes for 20 years. At the same time that Puerto Ricans are paying an 11.5 sales tax, they're going to be a PREPA, an electricity rate hike of 22%, and gas prices were hiked twice in 1 year recently. So while everybody is, the normal Puerto Ricans are being taxed to death, and their homes are declining in value, high net worth millionaire and billionaire North Americans are coming in, moving in, and buying things for pennies on the dollar. And John Paulson es uno de los principales. So what you just talked about, Will, what's happening to your father, is part of a much larger pattern that's happening nakedly. And as I said to your listeners, just Google the words, Puerto Rico real estate deal. Just Google those five words and see what you come up with.
Yeah, it seems like like they say here, the situation is what Detroit was like when it filed for bankruptcy in 2013. That was bad.
But there's some differences, because when they sent the Financial Control Board into Detroit, it was a really a local control board with people from Detroit. This Financial Control Board is being imposed from outside, and Detroit, when they got the control board, they got a $167 million grant. That was grant, meaning the money was given to Detroit to try to help fix some of their problems. No grant was given to Puerto Rico. The exact opposite. The Financial Control Board of Puerto Rico cost $370 million, and Puerto Rico is paying for it. The Puerto Rican taxpayer is paying for the control board that is taking over their economy. So it's very different from the way that Detroit and all the way that Washington, D.C. was treated when they had a Financial Control Board. This is a straight-out dictatorship. And home values are going down. They're called these public-private partnerships. They're going to privatize the public, the economy of Puerto Rico, the electrical grid, the water. The electrical, they're already doing that. They set up what they call a P3, a public-private partnership. And you know the result of that is that the rates for electricity are going up 22% next year. It's just a real horrible situation, Will, that may soon be develop into a humanitarian crisis. And at that point, I hope that the corporate media, that the six corporations and Will Vieira finally tell the truth.
I will always say the truth, brother. I will always say the truth. But anyways, listen, brother, I wanted to talk to you a bit about, you're not in New York. You're somewhere else. Tell me about that.
In Maryland. There's something called the Frank Bonilla Award. Frank Bonilla was the original founder, and for 21 years he was the executive director of Centro de Estudio Puerto Riqueño, the Center for Puerto Rican Studies at Hanna College. Well, he's the one that started it. And he's passed away, but in his honor, there's a history award called the Frank Bonilla Award. They give it every 2 years. And I was notified. I was very happy. I was humbled by the fact that this year they gave the Frank Bonilla Award to my book, War Against All Puerto Ricans. So I'm here in College Park, Maryland, at the University of Maryland, which is where the conference is being held, the Puerto Rican Studies Association, which is basically a group of professional historians and college professors, and they gave me the award today. And I'm happy for that, and it validates the book and the things in it. But what I'm hoping is that it just helps the American public realize that there are some real serious issues, and they wouldn't be giving me this award if a war in Puerto Rico against all Puerto Ricans wasn't really happening. And that war against all Puerto Ricans isn't just a history book. It's happening today. So. In Puerto Rico.
So we got to move on. We got to move on it.
Yeah, So I really thanks for. I wanted to give that thanks. I appreciate it, Will, that I can express my appreciation to the Center for Puerto Rican Studies, the Frank Bonilla Award, and actually I hope now that the center will give a little exposure to the book, because we haven't gotten that exposure on the book.
Vamos a trabajar para eso.
Puerto Rican. Yeah.
Vamos a trabajar para eso. Bueno, muchas gracias, Nelson, porque te estaba pensando ahora mientras tú estabas hablando que las últimas tres veces que tú has estado aquí en el show conmigo, has estado afuera. Estuviste en Chicago, ahora estás en Maryland, y ¿cuál fue el otro lugar? Creo que tú estuviste en Puerto Rico, ¿era? No me recuerdo. Yo sé que las últimas tres veces has estado fuera de Nueva York.
Wisconsin. And it's all for the book. All these different colleges, they asked me to come over and present the book, and I'm very happy to do it because, frankly, that's those six corporations, they didn't really promote the book. I noticed as well, when Roots came out and Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, it sparked a moral recalibration, a national reexamination of the Black and Native American experience in this country, in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And when War Against All Puerto Ricans came out, it became the best-selling book in Puerto Rico. But I noticed that up here in the mainland, the mainland corporate media, they didn't cover the book much. And I'm not surprised, because that's what happens when you have a colony and the United States capitalist system is benefiting from that colony. So I guess that's how it is. So for that reason, I'm willing to go all over the country to let people know about this book.
Y con esa los dejamos. Así que si no sabe del libro, salga y cómprelo. Si no lo ha visto todavía, no lo ha tenido en sus manos, vaya y cómprelo. Es un libro muy importante. Como siempre, Nelson Antonio Dennis con nosotros. Muchas gracias, Nelson. Te lo agradezco de todo corazón. Mi gente,
gracias.
Hemos llegado al final de nuestro show. Yo les doy las gracias por estar con nosotros. Volvemos la semana que viene con otro interesante show. Mientras tanto, los dejo con algo que siempre, siempre, siempre quiero que tengan en mente y en cuenta, que es que para saber a dónde vamos, tenemos que saber de dónde venimos. Ahora lo dejamos con un poquito de música para que salgan bailando de nuestro show. Así que la pasen bien, mi gente, los quiero mucho. Pa'lante siempre, para atrás, ni para coger impulso.